yesterday. Sharon Matthews died 2 weeks ago after choking on milk. They say the 37-year-old physically assisted Matthews in drinking the milk. He then threw the 3-year-old's body in a culvert near their home. USA Radio News.
Franklin Graham calls it a must-see.
Don't you dare tell me about the love and the compassion of your so-called God.
Mike Huckabee calls it a giant step forward for the faith-based genre.
Do you believe that God hears?
God always answers prayers.
Jerry Falwell Jr. says Let There Be Light offers forgiveness and hope when its Nanity present the most anticipated Christian movie of the year. Let There Be Light. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13 in theaters October 27. Find a theater at LetThereBeLightMovie.com.
The Communist Congress is over in China, and their current leader is going to continue to be their leader. Here's correspondent Bill Zinfer.
Xi will serve another 5 years as China's president and is firm in his stance as the party leader. On the final day of the Congress, the assembly went so far as to revise the party constitution, adding Xi's name to a guiding principle titled Xi Jinping, Thoughts on Socialism and Chinese Characteristics for a New Era. Only two previous leaders, Mao Zedong and Deng Xiaoping, have been honored in such a way.
And speaking of China, a group of Chinese scientists are trying to make the bacon you love a little less fatty. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
The Chinese scientists say they're engineering genetically low-fat pigs using a technique called CRISPR, which allows DNA to be edited with incredible precision. The pigs have about a quarter less body fat than regular pigs because they've been given a gene that lets them burn fat to regulate temperature. In the long term, it could save farmers money for food and heating costs. The work was published in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. I'm Chris Barnes.
Film studio The Weinstein Company under investigation in New York for possible civil rights violations following numerous accusations of assault and harassment against Harvey Weinstein. New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman said no one could work in a company that was ruled by sexual intimidation, harassment, or fear. USA Radio News.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, we're going to talk with Colonel Ed Smith. He's an African-American, retired Army Lieutenant Colonel, and a Korean War veteran, and he's just written a book. He's an amazing guy. One of the things we're going to talk about is racism. Then, of course, we're going to discuss Service Academy football games, and naturally we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag military history and our Armed America Report. Frontlines of Freedom is proud to be a part of the Eisenhower Center After the Impact team. They really do great things for our troops with traumatic brain injury. Yeah, they help professional athletes and first responders, too. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time to meet a wonderful person. Folks, you all know that retired Army Lieutenant Colonels are all wonderful and good-looking. and Edward Smith is one of us. He's also a Korean War veteran, and he's an African American. You may or may not know that our military was segregated throughout World War II. Then it was desegregated just in time for the Korean War, and that's when Edward got involved. So, welcome aboard, Ed. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom.
Thank you.
Ed, start by telling us your story. How did you grow up, and why did you join the Army?
I grew up in the South, in North Carolina, and one of my areas was in a farm. And I really enjoyed that after I left there. And then I went into the Army, drafted me and my twin brother in 1950. Matter of fact, the 30th of October, 1950.
Okay.
We served with utmost respect, and we served with utmost ability. And we was ready to combat, and we saw a lot of our friends pass away, die. But my twin brother and I never got a stretch, and they said that was because of the rigid training that we received on the farm in North Carolina. I really enjoyed living on the farm and working because I didn't know anything any better.
You know, that's true. All you know is what you grow up with. How would you know anything else as a young kid? Because you joined your grandparents when you were like three or four, wasn't it?
No, my grandparents took my brother and I from my father's mother, two grandparents.
Yeah, but you were about three or 4 years old then, weren't you?
And, yes.
Mm-hmm. And like everybody that generation, they believed in working hard, didn't they?
Well, it's an automatically full day, and you work hard. You had plenty to eat. You had a garden. You had a place to sleep. But you were living in what I call the dark age. We didn't have electricity during that period of time.
Okay, because that's how it was in all of America, or all of rural, or most of rural America at that time, wasn't it?
Yes, for sure.
And as I recollect from your book, the bulk of the community around you was not particularly racist. There were some people who were, a couple of stores or maybe a movie theater or something that were, but most people just saw neighbors as neighbors. Is that right?
Well, we were neighbors and neighbors because we weren't in an area where there was white farmers. This was all black farmers in this particular area.
Okay.
And what happened was we supported each other, both morally, physically, and financially, if there was a need. It was a good thing to grow up in that environment.
Yeah, and that makes a great deal of sense because that's sort of how America began. People came over here and started farming, and they all helped each other.
That's right.
That does make sense. And then the Korean War started, and you got drafted. So that's what we want to talk about. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing life in America, including racism in our nation, with Colonel Edward Smith. Okay, Ed, you got drafted. Talk about what it was like when you entered Mother Army. It was you and your twin brother. You went together, didn't you?
Yeah, we didn't want to be separated, so they took us along. Matter of fact, all of our training was in the same platoon. We never got split up from each other. We went into Fort Dix, New Jersey from Philadelphia, which was 27 miles away, and totally segregated, African-Americans in the battalion, in the platoon, or whatever you want to call it. And we trained for 16 weeks of basic training into advanced training, and then we was finished, and then we took a leave. And from that leave, we went on the train from Philadelphia to Seattle, Washington.
That's got to be one heck of a long train ride.
I still heard the same tracks today, even though it was 60 years ago.
So you went there. What happened there? Were you put into the unit you deployed with, or more training, or what?
No, what we did there was a process of a debarkation center. You know where that is.
Yep.
And what we did was stuck around for a week or two, washing pots and pans and doing odd jobs there at the Fort Lewis. And then we went from Fort Lewis on Breckinridge. I'm sure a lot of people heard of Breckinridge, the old ship from World War II. It took us into Yokohama, Japan.
So you went by ship across the Pacific Ocean?
Yeah, 15 days.
I'll bet that's something you don't really want to do again that way.
I don't want to even think about it. I was seasick for 15 days.
Well, and those old ships, they packed you in there like sardines, didn't they?
Oh, wow. Unbelievable. And my brother and I was right up at the front when the end come together, at the front of the ship. I guess what they call that. But anyway, every time it went up and down in the storm, it felt like it and sounded like it hit cement, you know?
Yes. Indeed. So making memories. I presume that the whole ship was not full of black soldiers. Was there much?
That's when we began to get integrated on the ship.
Okay. What were there big problems with integration? I'm sure there's minor stuff, but was there big problems?
No, there was no big problem with integration there because everybody was either doing something or talking about something. And when the weather was bad, they kept us inside. So it was an ordinary daily routine of on a ship.
Okay. Then when you landed, you first were in Japan, right? And then you went on to Korea?
Yes.
Okay. Talk about arriving in Korea. What was that like?
We landed at Yokohama, and most of us were seasick. And so I was seasick, and someone had to take off the ship on
a stretcher or something, huh?
Yeah, stretcher, that's the word. And so what we did was we were sent to Fort Drake, Camp Drake, there in Japan, and the processing began of shipping us to different units and different organizations throughout Japan and Korea. You have to remember that there was about 2,000 to 3,000, 5,000 troops on that ship. And so there's a lot of people at Camp Drake getting processed to go to Korea. But, well, they put us on a train with seats on the side and sent us up to the division headquarters in Korea. And from Korea, we were assigned to a different organization. And my brother and I were assigned to the 7th Infantry Division of the 17th Infantry Regiment of K Company in Korea.
Okay. This was an integrated unit, right?
We didn't get integrated immediately.
Okay.
Which is not in the book. There was a Ranger, African-American Ranger unit that we went through processing as a terrain infiltration. Well, we'll be adapted to hills and mountains and roads. For about 30 days, we went through that. And then they reassigned us to the 7th Infantry Division, King Company. Well, matter of fact, the Ranger was part of the 7th Division. It was a separated unit, during that time. And that's when everything became integrated. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the Ranger unit that trained you was African-American Rangers, and they trained you as an African-American unit at that time, right?
Yes.
Troops, there's clearly more to discuss on the topic of our military, particularly in the Korean War and racism as it occurred. And Edward's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, hit the deck, do an easy, slow 30 one-handed push-ups with each hand. I want you lean and mean. We'll be right back. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Neighborhood Community Watch was established by the National Sheriff's Association back in 1972 in response to the rising crime of the 1960s. You can form your own Neighborhood Crime Watch by logging into www.nnw.org. Above all else, get to know your neighbors and work together as a community. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
She was thrown out of a pickup truck.
Somebody threw him out of a car and shattered his leg.
They found her walking on the streets.
Many have been abused, malnourished, eating garbage,
scabs,
itching, licking, missing fur.
There's this commercial on TV that the ASPCA does, and they want you to send in $19 a month for a dog in the shelter. I think you should go and adopt a dog from the ASPCA, and then get that dog on Dinovite.
Dinovite. com.
You don't need to spend thousands on vet bills.
Their answer is nutrition.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
When you rescue a dog, you've got to feed them right for life. Every rescue deserves at least 90 days of Dinovite.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite is nutrition.
Dinovite for life.
Dinovite. com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Colonel Ed Smith on the topic of our military in the Korean War and how racism affected it. Ed, as I recollect from your book, you ended up as a squad leader, and so did your brother in the same platoon. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was it an all-black platoon, or were there blacks and whites in that one?
Well, it was integrated this time. There was blacks and white soldiers.
Okay. And you, as a private, no-stripe private, and your brother were squad leaders?
Yes.
The Army must have had an interesting way of doing things like that, because we don't do that anymore. But apparently they recognized you as somebody who could lead, or they wouldn't let you do it, because this wasn't just a parade or something. This was in close combat, right?
This was in combat, to be a fact. What happened was I was in the first squad, and my brother was in the fourth squad. So actually, we didn't go into action at the same time. We did a lot of patrol. We did a lot of scouting. But we were there to support the country, and we did that.
But you did both, and particularly you did end up in some quite intense close combat, didn't you?
We were actually in combat. You speak about racism. It all started the day my brother and I got there, and the gentleman had been there for some time at the company, and he said something about niggers or something. And my brother and I went after him, and he ran into the oil room. And when he got into the oil room, the first sergeant was very honest. He said, "I have you guys here. If you give me any more problems, I'm going to send one of you to another company." And so we stayed in that company until we left.
And that said, you still accomplished a goal. You confronted somebody who liked to use the word, and I bet he didn't use it again.
Oh, I'm sure if he's living he's not using it.
Because I have a funny feeling that a farm boy with a smile on his face can communicate in a lot of different ways, and that one way or another you communicated with him, he didn't want to do that again.
Oh, yes.
We've got a few more minutes left. Talk about the first time you went to combat, what it was like.
Well, the first time we went to combat was on a Sunday morning. We traveled up the hill, and this was the first time that I'd ever seen that we were walking above the clouds. That's a whole different environment and weather in Korea. And just as we reached the top of the mountain, we got fired on. And the fire was very persistent, and nobody got hurt at that particular time. But during the process of getting set up for the afternoon, you know, the perimeter.
Yes.
And what happened was we had a young lieutenant who just came into the unit from West Point. And the field artillery radio guy said, round coming in, everybody hit the deck. I hit the ground. Okay, then.
Yeah, be careful here. We're not squids. Yeah.
You understand.
Okay. Yeah.
And lo and behold, the second lieutenant didn't know what was going on. And he got hit, so he was in the comms for about 10 minutes. And they took him down below because he got hit with shrapnel. So You never know when someone said, round coming, incoming, you better hit the deck, you know, hit the ground.
And you don't think about it first either, do you?
You don't. You hit the ground, then that's it. But the lieutenant may have got the idea of what the hit the ground means.
Well, I bet he figured it out once he survived his wounds.
Oh, yeah.
So that happened. Close combat. Talk to us about it.
That was the beginning of the first day of combat. So you're now a pro, right? After the shooting is over and you, next morning, you are a pro. But we had a lot of publicity, my brother and I. We relieved the Marines, 1st Marine Division, and they relieved us, and they used to holler at us and say, the Chinese have not separated you twins yet. It was kind of funny, but you know, we did that quite some time. But everybody liked us. They knew we were there. I think the Chinese even knew we were there. But we were very popular in the war.
But you did see very close combat. I know that because I read your book. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing racism with Colonel Ed Smith. That close combat that you had messes up a lot of people. Sometimes they don't realize it immediately, but we human beings are not made to do great damage to other human beings. And when we do, it can mess us up, can't it?
It for life.
And that's one of those things that happened. Two things. An interesting thing that after several weeks of close combat, Ed and his brother were called out and sent home because their grandmother, they thought, was dying. And the next day, Ed, was it that your company got attacked?
It wiped the whole company out. We don't explain wiping the whole company out. That doesn't mean everybody was dead, okay? What that means is you're not functioning as a team anymore.
It does. And it means a lot of people hurt and some dead. So just by coincidence, they were called out and sent home, and grandmother didn't die. They continued serving the military. If you want to know the rest of the story, you're going to have to buy the book. The name of the book is Forgotten Heroes. And, Ed, they can get that at Amazon or about anywhere, can't they?
Yes, it's in 48,000 bookstores in the United States and over in the world.
And the whole title of the book is Forgotten Heroes, An American Soldier's Journey from Korea Through the Cold War, 1927 to 2016. And we're going to give away a copy of that at the end of the show. One question for you. Racism today in the military and in society as you see it, is it better or worse from when you were growing up, when you were in the Army, when you were in the Korean War?
Then I'm going to put this this way. It has changed, but it hasn't changed enough. You still confront racism. We still confront bigotry. We still confront separation as people in ghettos and the reservation of the Indians in the United States. And that's what I'm writing on now. A change needs to be done where everybody can be equal and everybody can be the same.
Well, that certainly it was the goal everybody had when they came to America a long time ago, and we're certainly not there yet. One last question. The NFL players who want to take a knee during the national anthem, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm against that, because when my brother and I was drafted, we went to the war without any complaints or anything, came back alive. But the fact is, you don't do it in the public. You want to do it at home behind the TV. That, to me, that's fine. But we should not put the United States down, because anywhere you go in the world, no place is like the United States of America.
Ed, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. And this is the beginning of a friendship. We young guys need to stay in touch with each other.
Okay, we will.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, it's time for Service Academy football. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops do 20 pull-ups all the way up and all the way down, nice and slow, then take a break, and do 20 more, and stand at ease but stay in the area. I'll be right back. Spartan Nash holds a special place in its heart for Honor and Remember. As a national partner with Honor and Remember, Spartan Nash is deeply committed to never forgetting those who paid the ultimate price in service to our country.
The flag serves as a symbol of remembrance, and Spartan Nash flies the Honor and Remember flag at all of our facilities. The flag artwork is on our fleet of tractor trailers, which travel 50 million miles each year.
Learn more at honorandremember.org.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
That gives me a sense of urgency to identify exactly what happened, to communicate exactly what happened to the families and the American people.
General Joe Dunsford, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, addressing reporters at the Pentagon about the situation in the JIR. Dunsford said the investigation continues to find out what the soldiers were told in the midst of the firefight.
This is a very complex situation that they found themselves in, a pretty tough firefight. And what tactical instructions the commander on the scene gave at a given time that caused units to maneuver and where they might have been when Sergeant Johnson's body was found, those are all questions that we'll identify during the investigation.
Texas health officials confirming a second death from flesh-eating bacteria related to Hurricane Harvey. A 31-year-old carpenter repairing homes in the Galveston area contracted the disease and died on October 16th. A 77-year-old woman died of the infection in September. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering six times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Honoring Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's great sponsors, Honor and Remember, and their national sponsor, Spartan Nash. Hey, if you know someone who has died while serving our country, contact Honor and Remember so they can be honored. Go to honorandremember.org. Well, if you don't know it's football season by now, you need to hear reveille and get up and pay attention. Army, Navy, and Air Force have been and are rocking, fighting on to victory. Joining me now is football co-host Quentin Roberts, who is staying on top of this stuff because he loves it so much. Welcome aboard, dude.
Hey, Denny, always a pleasure to be here. Had some great games this week, so I'm looking forward to reviewing them with you.
Well, they are, and, you know, the one I was paying most attention to, of course, was Army, and I noticed we didn't waste any points. 1 point or 1,001 points, you still win. Army won by 1 point. We're saving those points for use against Air Force first and then Navy. So talk about the Army game.
Well, you're right, Denny. They did not waste a point in securing their fourth victory at home, 28-27 over the Eastern Michigan Eagles. It was a tight affair all the way at Mikey Stadium in West Point, New York. Eastern Michigan opened the scoring 7-0, but Army came right back, tying it up in the first quarter at 7. Both teams also added a touchdown in the second quarter. So at the half, it was 14-14. Moving into the third quarter, Army pulled out a 7-play, 94-yard drive, ending in a touchdown, going up 21-14, but Eastern Michigan was not done. They came right back with a 13-play, 78-yard drive of their own to tie it up at 21. But the Black Knights were not to be denied as Darnell Woolfolk scored on a 13-yard touchdown run to go up 28-21, but the Eagles, with 49 seconds left, their quarterback, Brogan Roback, hit Sergio Bailey from 8 yards out for the touchdown, pulling within 1 point, and that was decision time. Do they go for the extra point taken in overtime, or do they go for two? On the road, Chris Creighton, their coach, decided to go for two. The pass was incomplete as it was knocked away by Army's Mike Reynolds and secured the fourth victory for the Black Knights at home as they remain undefeated at home, 28-27 over the Eastern Michigan Eagles. Looking at the stats, Army held the ball 37 minutes to Eastern Michigan's 22. They won the turnover battle 1-0 as well. And so Army really looked good. Ahmad Bradshaw, the quarterback, again led the team with 19 carries for 171 yards and one touchdown. Kel Walker, the phenom running back, also added 115 yards on 14 carries and one touchdown himself. So even though they didn't complete a pass, the Black Knights found a way to win, and the defense came up big when they needed it most.
Well, that's the key. Just out of curiosity, would you have gone for 2 points, or would have you gone for one in a tie?
Conventional wisdom says that when you're on the road, you go for two. And that when you're at home, you go for the tie because you can usually have the momentum and you've got the crowd behind you. So going for two, I think, was the right call.
Okay. Navy was on the wrong side of a close game, right?
They sure were. They traveled to Memphis, Tennessee, and the Memphis Tigers really were opportunistic as they capitalized on Navy's five turnovers to bring down the midshipmen and hand them their first loss of the season. Memphis won that game 30-27. Uncharacteristic of Navy to commit that many turnovers, and I think the first time in Coach Niumatalolo's history at Navy that they've had five turnovers, but you're just not going to win at the Division I level with that those kinds of turnovers. Navy, at the end of one, Navy was actually leading 10-7, and going into the half, it was a tie game at 10-10. The second half is when all the fireworks began. Memphis went up 17-10. Navy came back with a safety and then a touchdown to go up 19-17. Memphis came back with a field goal to go up 20-19. Then Memphis stretched it out a little bit with two more touchdowns to go up 30-19 before Navy scored with 3:25 remaining to bring the score within five. They went for two and got it. And so it was 30-27 with 3:25 left. Navy got the ball back again, drove down, but that fifth turnover occurred as Zach Abey threw another interception. And so it was a tough day. When you make these service academy teams pass, you're really playing into the hands of the defense. Zach Abey ran the ball very well, 37 carries for 146 yards and three touchdowns, but he only completed one pass. He was one out of seven for 20 yards and two interceptions. So that's always going to be a tough one to overcome. But so Navy suffered their first defeat of the year, 30-27.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're looking at last week's Service Academy football games. We've covered Army and Navy. Air Force pulled one out, right?
They sure did, Denny. And it was, again, more fireworks that were in the offing. Air Force fell behind big to University of Nevada, Las Vegas. They secured a victory, 34-30, but they were down at the half 27-7 before mounting a furious comeback. And again, pulling out the victory on the road, 34-30. They were led by Arian Werthmann, the quarterback, who had 30 carries for 166 yards and five touchdowns through the air. He completed four out of eight passes for 72 yards. So it really was the Arian Werthmann show for Air Force. When we look at the statistics in that game, Air Force was able to control the ball 33 minutes to UNLV's 26. And they also won the total offense 473 to 411. And they overcame four turnovers of their own to, again, defeat the UNLV Running Rebels 34-30 and moved to 2-4. They broke a four-game losing streak and moved to 1-2 in the conference. So it was a big win for Air Force. Even though UNLV was only 2-3 coming into the game, Air Force really needed to end that losing streak, which they did.
Yes, and I'm sure glad they did. So we had really tight games. So this weekend, hopefully they'll be a little broader with all of us winning.
That's right, Denny. That's what we're looking for. Looking at Air Force, they go to Nevada, and they are favored by 6 points over Nevada. They should be able to handle Nevada. Nevada, I believe, has only won one game all season. Army hosts Temple. They are favored by 5.5, and I don't think it will be that close. But Navy has the stiffest test as they host the UCF Knights, University of Central Florida, who is undefeated. They're favored by 7.5, and they've got an up-and-coming coach of their own, Scott Frost, former Nebraska player, and he's got that program on a roll, and that's going to be a tough game for Navy. So Air Force and Army are favored. Navy's the underdog, but only by about a touchdown. So I say stay tuned. I think our service academies are going to make us proud again.
Quentin, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your insights. It's always good to have a football nut like you on the team. It makes it more fun that way.
Hey, we all got our role, Denny. That's mine.
We do. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You have reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. 50 pounds to do it, and then get to do about 50 bench presses. I want you combat ready. By the way, Quentin, do you do those push-ups and stuff that I tell everybody to do?
After you inspire me, Denny, and I listen to you say it, I sure do. I drop down, and I add a few burpees in there just for good measure. That's because that's what Air Force men do.
Well, troops, so we've got role models for you right here on Front Lines of Freedom.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress, he lost. He was nominated for vice president, he lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence, pass it on.
from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. The Eisenhower Center and After the Impact program really help our troops who are suffering from traumatic brain injury. Any vet with this problem should check this program. Money's not an issue here. These folks really want to help our injured vets. Check EisenhowerCenter.com. Okay, team, let's open the mailbag. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Please send your thoughts to me at Denny@FrontlinesOfFreedom.com or on Facebook. Roland, what's the first comment?
Colonel, Sarah is still laughing about the interview you had with the author of the book, Booze and the Civil War. She is quite a Civil War buff, but she'd never heard of serious use of alcohol before. But it's totally logical.
Thanks, Sarah. It certainly made sense to me, too. I learned a lot from that, like you.
Then George from Texas really liked your interview with the Colonel about his book on God in America. We are drifting quite quickly away from our Christian culture, and our nation is getting to be a much more dangerous place because of that.
George, you're right on. Most Americans throughout our history have obeyed the law because we felt that was what God wanted us to do.
The more godless a nation becomes, the more dangerous and the more cops it takes to make us follow the law. Well, you know, gents, before we get to military history, I was a bit tired last weekend and was thinking about taking a nap when I remembered an incident from my first or plebe year at West Point. My roommate, Bob, wasn't very neat and sometimes seemed to never have enough sleep. He could fall asleep pretty much anywhere, anytime, and did. It turned out that he did have a medical problem, but he didn't get it diagnosed until one day when he fell asleep standing at a blackboard doing a math problem. Yeah, during class. See, the way our math classes ran, the prof would lecture and then tell us to take boards. The boards were sectioned off so that each of us had our own space, and we were not to look around. Our eyes were to be on our own boards only, unless the prof told us to look somewhere else. Then he'd give us a problem, and we were to solve it as he walked around checking our progress. One day, Bob was at the board next to me, and after a few minutes of working on a problem, I heard a loud clack. I couldn't help but look. Bob had dropped his chalk. That's the clack. He was standing, facing his board, with his nose about a half an inch from the board, and he was sound asleep. The prof yelled at him, which woke him up, and shortly thereafter, he received some medical help and got his issues under control. Interesting time.
You know, it's kind of funny because in the military, we learn to sleep anywhere. Except for that probably wasn't real appropriate.
Right. I don't think I've ever slept standing up. Probably every other position.
Very true.
And now it's time for military history. Lead out, Roland. What's first?
On 25 October 1854, in an event alternatively described as one of the most heroic and disastrous episodes in British military history, Lord James Cardigan led a charge of the Light Brigade Cavalry against well-defended Russian artillery during the Crimean War. The British were winning the Battle of Baklava when Cardigan received his orders to attack the Russians. His cavalry gallantly charged down the valley and were decimated by the heavy Russian guns, suffering 40% casualties. It was later revealed that the order was the result of confusion. It was not given intentionally. Lord Cardigan, who survived the battle, was hailed as a national hero in Britain.
I would not really want to make a national hero that way if I ever had a chance.
I am either.
On 25 October 1862, a sarcastic President Lincoln wired General George McClellan, quote, "I have just read your dispatch about sore-tongued and fatigued horses. Will you pardon me for asking what your horses in the army have done during the Battle of Antietam that fatigued anything?" You see, Lincoln was out of patience with McClellan. The president had ordered him to pursue Confederate General Robert E. Lee into Virginia after Antietam on September 17th. But McClellan dallied for over a month. A little over a week after sending this message, Lincoln replaced McClellan with Ambrose Burnside. I guess when the boss says chase him, he means it not a month from now?
I still can't get over the swollen tongues.
That's interesting. You know, Ambrose Burnside became very famous because he had a lot of side facial hair, which we now call side burns. That's where the name came from. That's what he's best remembered for.
And, folks, that comes from the colonel in that brain of his. Okay, on 23 October 1921, right after the end of World War I, in the French town of Chalons-sur-Marne, an American officer selected the body of the first unknown soldier to be honored among the approximately 77,000 U.S. servicemen who were killed on the Western Front during World War I.
That was the beginning of the tomb, first called the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and now the Tomb of the Unknowns. On 26 October 1942, the last U.S. aircraft carrier manufactured before America's entry into World War II, the Hornet, was damaged so extensively by Japanese warplanes in the Battle of Santa Cruz, it was abandoned. I wouldn't want to abandon a ship if I was on it.
I don't think anybody would. Wonder, did it sink?
Well, but you're used to being on ships. If they're going to sink anyway, is it a good idea to get off?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
On 25 October 1944, during the World War II Battle of Leyte Gulf, the Japanese deployed kamikaze, what really actually means divine wind, suicide bombers against American warships for the first time. It proved costly to both sides.
Yeah. I don't think there were very many aces among the kamikaze pilots. You got to get five victories to do that.
I think that was a one and done.
On 27 October 1962, complicated and tension-filled negotiations between the U.S. and the Soviet Union finally resulted in a plan to end the two-week-old Cuban Missile Crisis. This was a frightening period in which nuclear holocaust seemed imminent, and it began to come to an end as the Soviets withdrew their missiles from Cuba. And now we're dealing with, was it sound waves in Cuba?
Yeah.
On 23 October 1983, a suicide bomber drove a truck filled with 2,000 pounds of explosives into a U.S. Marine Corps barracks at the Beirut International Airport. The explosion killed 220 Marines, 18 sailors, and 3 soldiers. And a few minutes after that bomb went off, a second bomber drove into the basement of the nearby French paratroopers' barracks, killing 58 more people. Intelligence determined that the instructions for the attack came from Iran. 4 months after the bombing, American forces left Lebanon without retaliating at all.
If we knew it was Iran, and we did, why the heck didn't we do something? Maybe because you and I weren't running things.
Yeah, I think I was a little young at that point to even know what was going on.
Yeah, good point. And that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for Armed America Report. What do you have?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Minding his boss's store late one evening, a smoke shop employee in Waco, Texas, was forced to act to defend himself and the property. A man in a ski mask entered the shop, displayed a firearm, and demanded money. The employee pulled his own concealed weapon in response and fired several shots at the assailant. The criminal was later admitted to a local hospital with several wounds.
Thanks, Colonel. In colder parts of the country where ski masks are prevalent, wearing a ski mask isn't such a big deal. But couple a ski mask with a warm climate and a gun pointed in your direction, well, now that's a different story. I think the important topic to discuss here is when to decide to launch your counterattack. Because let's face it, the bad guy will always be the one who decides when, where, and how the initial attack will occur. Us good guys will almost always find ourselves in the unenviable position of responding to the deadly threat. Anyone can be ambushed, no matter how big, strong, or competent you are. And all us military vets understand that the element of surprise can be really tough to overcome. We can't be on high alert 24/7, so it's safe to say that you may be ambushed by violent criminals. The important thing is how and when you respond. You can't control the bad guy's actions, so you'll be forced to key off his attack. Here are a few things you can do to enhance your chances of survival. Number one, stay calm. Lower your heart rate if possible. Always steady your breathing. Your body needs oxygen to fight and to think clearly. Two, feign compliance at first. This may put the criminal at ease and cause him to get overconfident, and arrogance is a weakness you can exploit. Three, watch the criminal's every move while appearing to be a helpless victim. Do not launch your counter-ambush until the attacker is looking in another direction or occupied with another person. If your attacker is prepared to kill, then you will not be able to outdraw a loaded gun pointed in your direction, so just wait until your opportunity comes. Four, when the right time comes, launch that attack either with open hands, your firearm, or with any environmental weapon at your disposal. But when you choose to attack, don't hold anything back. It's life or death, and you have to fight with all you've got. In a situation like this store clerk found himself in, you're going to live or die based on decisions you make. So keep your wits about you and make good decisions.
Thank you, Skip. We have two books to give away this weekend. The first is Abraham Rabinovich's The Yom Kippur War. The second is Colonel Edward Smith's Forgotten Heroes. To get in on the drawing, email me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com and put either The Yom Kippur War or Forgotten Heroes in the subject line. It'll take two emails to be considered for both books. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss our Navy's Bureau of Medicine with Rear Admiral Gillingham. We'll also learn about our Marine Corps' Toys for Tots program. And, of course, we'll discuss this week's Service Academy football.
Thank you, friends, for joining us on Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please do check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you or your friends had guard, KP, or some other duty that forced you to miss any part of this show, well, all of our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. And join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.
This is Ed Lukasevic.
And Cindy Lukasevic at Dynovite.
This year, whenever you order a 90-day supply of Dynovite for your dog, we'll send you a free sample of one of the other doggy things we make.
Like Lico Chaps, Super Mega Fish Oil, or Doggo Suds Shampoo.
What's on your dog's wish list?
We'll offer a different freebie each week at Dynovite.com.
Don't you just love the sound of healthy, happy dogs?
Dynovite is nutrition.
Dynovite for life.
DINOVITE.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
That gives me a sense of urgency to identify exactly what happened, to communicate exactly what happened to the families and the American people.
General Joe Dunsford, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, addressing reporters at the Pentagon about the situation in Niger. Dunsford said the investigation continues to find out what the soldiers were told in the midst of the firefight.
This is a very complex situation that they found themselves in, a pretty tough firefight. And what tactical instructions the commander on the scene gave at a given time that caused units to maneuver and where they might have been when Sergeant Johnson's body was found, those are all questions that we'll identify during the investigation.
Texas health officials confirming a second death from flesh-eating bacteria related to Hurricane Harvey. A 31-year-old carpenter repairing homes in the Galveston area contracted the disease and died on October 16th. A 77-year-old woman died of the infection in September. USA Radio News.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's Georgia Gold.
And I'm also over here to tell you about Nashville Hot.
Georgia Gold is honey mustard barbecue.
KFC Nashville Hot is spicy and smoky.
Georgia Gold is sweet and tangy.
Nashville Hot is crispy and delicious.
You might be asking how I'm doing this.
You also might be asking where the nearest KFC is.
I don't know what you're asking. This is radio. I can't hear you. Try both delicious flavors at KFC.
Available in extra crispy chicken tenders or chicken littles for a limited time at participating KFCs. Prices may vary.
Get the best night's sleep of your life with a MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code USA, and you'll get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows. MyPillow.com, promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. 100% machine washable, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. How can you lose? Go to MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
Tennessee Republican Senator Bob Corker, who's announced he won't run for re-election, is continuing his campaign against President Trump. Here he is on CBS this morning.
It appears to be the governing model of this White House to purposely divide. I mean, that's what happened after the Virginia incident. It's to consolidate base, not to bring people together and to bring out the better angels of those people in our country. This is a great nation, and without us doing that, it really not only affects us and future generations, but it affects the world.
Sears has announced they are ending their century-old partnership with Whirlpool products. The retailer said that Whirlpool was making demands of Sears that would have raised prices to a level they felt were too high for their customers. Sears says they will sell their remaining Whirlpool stock and then not order any more. Whirlpool released a statement saying Sears only made up 3% of their global sales, and so it was not that big a loss for the manufacturer. This is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
A group of soldiers from Mississippi are speaking about their treatment in Kosovo, and it's good. Here's correspondent Randy Bell with a report.
When American soldiers go overseas, they sometimes face hostility and even worse from the local people. But that's not what some Mississippi National Guard soldiers are experiencing in Kosovo. The 1st Battalion, 185th Aviation Regiment, has been there on a peacekeeping mission for about 4 months now. And Staff Sergeant Stephen Andrews of Clinton says the people of Kosovo are happy the troops are there.
You're practically a celebrity in their eyes.
He says they walk